Prime Minister Viktor Orbán has been at the helm of Hungary for 15 years, and his Fidesz party has won all parliamentary elections with a smooth victory. Now the situation could change. Hungarians will go to the polls again in April next year. And in the polls, for the first time in history, the opposition Tisza party, led by member of the European Parliament Peter Magyar, is steadily leading. What vision of Hungary does Tisza offer voters? How would Budapest's relationship with Brussels change if Tisza wins? And would Hungary stop blocking aid to Ukraine at the European level? I'm Zdenka Trachtová and you are listening to Interview Plus.
Our guest today is Zoltán Tar, vice president of the main Hungarian opposition party Tisza and member of the European Parliament, where he belongs to the EPP group. Welcome to Czech Radio.
Thank you so much for having me.
So it's still 4 months until the April parliamentary election in Hungary. How confident you are that Tisza party will keep the current leading position in the polls?
Thank you for the question. We are very positive that we are going to keep this leading position. And this is based on not really on our own capabilities, but on the wish of the people. People are becoming more and more eager to see some change in the society, in the economics, in the life of the whole country. And that keeps growing, this wish and this intention. Also, in spite of all the difficulties and all the oppression the government is putting on us as Tisza representatives, and also on the people who are vocal about their dissatisfaction, people are not afraid. They are open to come to our various demonstrations. They are very happy to take part in our election selection process. So we see that there is a general sort of awakening in the society.
Before the last election in 2022, United Opposition also led for a brief moment in the polls, but then it suffered heavy defeat in the elections. In what sense is the current situation different from the situation before the last election?
There are many differences. First, I think, which is important to note, that we are in a leading position for quite a long time now. So this is not just, you know, one peak and then we are struggling to stay on this peak. This is a constant trend for many months now. And that is something which is very important, that in spite of the very old logic and methodologies of the current government, they were not able to suppress this movement. And that's one thing. The other thing is that we are one movement. There is no coalition, any kind of cooperation with anyone. People understand more and more that in order to be able to change this regime, we need a united opposition, a unified opposition. And the unified opposition is capable of somehow defeating this government, which is actually consists of two parties. It's a coalition. And for us, it is very important that we will be able to run against this coalition. The Hungarian electoral system is such that it is only possible for one unified opposition to win, and we hope that we will be able to manage.
Also, some political parties, opposition political parties, decided not to candidate to support Tisza, right?
Well, there are, yes. I mean, first of all, we were quite critical about the as we call them, the old opposition, because they had also a lot of chance, but they were not able to bring about the change which people were actually yearning for. And yes, there are some parties who really wants change and who realize that they were not able to deliver, and they withdraw themselves from the elections which are coming up in next year. There are others who are competing, and there are even new parties which were established quite recently in order to compete. And we see that as a kind of distraction, which might or might not, we don't know, supported by the government in order to somehow confuse the voters and make a bit more messy picture.
From the perspective of the European Union, Hungary is seen as the biggest troublemaker, I would say, among member states who has complicated relations with the European Union institutions. Should this be changed, and will this change if Tisza party form a new government next year?
Absolutely. There are two main areas where we are fighting. First is obviously a domestic area, the domestic issues. This government in the past 15 years were not dealing with the issues which are important for the people: healthcare, education, the overall state of the country and the welfare of the people. We have to somehow repair that. That's the main goal what we would like to do. And in order to be able to do that, we have to normalize the EU relations and with relations with our neighbors as well as with other countries within the EU and outside of the EU, but within Europe. This government is not doing what it's supposed to do for the country. This government is only dealing with issues which is important for them, for their own short-sighted goals. And yes, definitely, we need to come back to the negotiating tables. We have to go and try to be a constructive member of the Union, constructive member of the various institutions, and that's what we are aiming for. That's why we are here as parliamentarians. We are learning as well as we are trying to convince those who do have some doubts that yes, we will be able to bring about change in the country, both domestically as well as internationally.
Would you say that Tisza is clearly pro-European party?
Absolutely, 100%. We are a pro-European, central, middle-right party with a conservative background, but our constituency is a quite wide constituency, and the reason for that, as I said, is that people realize that we need to be together and we need to be a unified opposition in order to be able to beat this regime.
I said that current Hungarian government is viewed in Brussels as a troublemaker, and concrete topics where it shows is, for example, support for Ukraine, because Orbán's government often blocks decision to support Ukraine. So what would be position of your government if your party forms it?
Yeah, one of the things which I think this government is doing is it has a somewhat hypocritic approach to many things. They are saying one thing in the European Union, in Brussels. They are saying another thing in Hungary. And I must say that this government does not have any kind of foreign political ideas or strategies. So their only goal is to maintain their power within the country. And for that, they are using all kinds of issues, for example, the war in Ukraine, to divide people. The main idea is to bring division into the society and also to bring division within the European Union. That is their way of doing politics. And obviously, the issues around the war in Ukraine is something which can be quite divisive in normal people's life as well as in a country. And we think that things like how we are going to stop the war in Ukraine and how we are going to bring peace, how we are going to help Ukraine to rebuild itself, these are issues which we need to discuss. The Hungarian government is not in the business of solving problems. The Hungarian government currently is in the business of creating problems. Mm-hmm. This is something, this sort of attitude, which we would like to really depart from. But at the same time, we would like to respect as well as protect the interest of the people in Hungary. And that pretty much actually coincides with the goals of other nations as well. So in this respect, we think that we need to have much more dialogue and we need to look for solutions and not for distraction.
So what exactly is this opposition on Ukraine-Russian conflict? Do you think that it complies with position of European Union, that it's clearly pro-Ukrainian?
I think that it is a somewhat tricky question because to a certain point the government is saying what the reality is, that it is Russia who started, who was the aggressor, and after a certain time they agreed to say that, and we believe from the very very beginning that it is an aggression from Russia. How to solve this problem? We do have some different understandings based on what I have said before, that this government is not looking for the solution, it is looking for how they can gain some advantages out of this terrible situation what is in Ukraine. For us, what is more important is how people can be saved and how peace can be brought about in Ukraine with not letting Russia to gain on this aggression. And for that, we say that just peace is what needs to be somehow achieved. And for that, dialogue and diplomatic measures are needed. We are very much, open and would like to do as much as it is possible to push the countries which are clearly behind, you know, the various interests to sit down and find out how they can end this suffering for the people in Ukraine. We definitely would like to depart from the current Hungarian government's approach, but we also would like to respect that in Hungary this issue, as I said, is quite divisive, and the people are sort of, you know, misled in many aspects to what the situation is all about. So we think that with clear communication, with a clear intention for peace, we will be able to change the standpoint of how we relate to this tragic situation.
So if this party and its leader, your colleague Petr Magyar, wins the election, we shouldn't expect Petr Magyar as a prime minister in Moscow shaking hands with Vladimir Putin.
Definitely not. I mean, that is absolutely not our intention, and we won't do that. It is actually against the history and the understanding of Hungary, what is going on now. Hungary and Hungarian people's freedom fight was several times oppressed by Russia and by the Russian army. So what this current government and its leader is doing is totally against the history, the tradition, the beliefs of the Hungarian people. That is his own business for his own interest. As we have said many times, Peter's first travel will be to Warsaw, because we value very much the traditional Polish-Hungarian partnership, which also suffered quite a bit under this regime. And we also would like to visit all the V4 countries, including Czechia and Prague, obviously, because that is our context, the V4, the Central Eastern European area, where we understand each other maybe better than with others. And these are the countries we need to work much closer in the future.
That was my next question. What should Hungary's future foreign policy orientation look like?
Well, as I said, in a way, it's not too difficult, because the current government does not have any kind of foreign political strategy, as well as I would say that the concept is also missing at some points. Only the current interests which is driving the current government, and that is not something which we believe would be worth to keep, as well as it would be fruitful for our people. First, we would like to go back to the history and to what we are. We belong to Europe, we belong to the Western democracies. That's what the Hungarian people decided on 1,000 years ago, as well as we have a common somewhat tragic history with the countries of Central Eastern Europe, as well as those countries which joined the EU at the same time and the NATO at almost the same time. We do have something very special to work on, as well as we do have something very special to offer to the European Union. So for us, this would be the focus, where we belong. That's where we should work. We should not try to build other kinds of bridges which are actually not those which are really, you know, our own, and we need to find ways of cooperation with the countries with which we already have or used to have in the history. So that is the main strategic goal.
You mentioned Visegrad 4. Right now, this group of countries, Visegrad 4, is weakened by disputes. Yes. Very simple description is that there is a Czech Republic and Poland on one side, and Hungary and Slovakia with their more pro-Russian, anti-Ukrainian views on the other side. What future do you see for V4? Is it possible to repair it?
We do hope it is possible to repair it. Actually, we are already doing steps which is in our capacity to repair it. Obviously, it can be very well seen that especially the Hungarian government, Viktor Orbán, is using V4 in his own interest. So when he needs the V4 cooperation, then he tries to do something about it. There is obviously a strong political and ideological background to it. They get along very well with the Slovakian prime minister. He hopes to get along very well with the new elected Czech prime minister, and that might give a sort of revival of for the V4. But we think that these sort of newly found cooperations, they don't really relate to the core of its this cooperation, which why it was established. So yes, we would like to, as I said before, we find it extremely important to find new ways to cooperate, to find middle ground on issues which we cannot agree, but at the same time to stress those issues where we agree on these countries together, and maybe also which these countries have done in the past, to open up this cooperation from time to time to other countries, because it is important for the stability of the region to cooperate with other countries, both in the Balkans, also in the western, southern part. So that is something which we think these regional cooperations could be a new future for Europe, and the V4 is a cooperation which exists for a long time and could be an example for other regions as well.
Aren't you worried that your trying to repair V4 could be complicated by the fact that elections in Czech Republic won Andrej Babiš and his ANO party, and he will probably become a next prime minister?
Actually, I mean, we respect the decision of every nation, obviously, the sovereignty of the people who made the decision by an election, and we are looking forward to find ways of cooperation with everyone. For us, it is important that we all have to come from this approach of respect to each other, and that is something which is maybe we need to renew how we approach each other in general, and we also hope that we also trust that we cannot go back to the same situation how it was 5-10 years ago. We shouldn't go back. We need to find new ways of cooperation, and that I think really stands for the V4 cooperation as well. It has to change as well as we all have to change. Right now, I think what we are doing is we started not just to defend democracy but to renew it, and that is something which we all need to do, I guess, there are so many problems, so many issues, so many conflicting ideas and pressures outside and inside. But if we just defend, we cannot renew. And we think that we need to renew what we already have. So many changes are going on that we need to find new ways of how we can live out democracy, how we can live out partnerships with other countries and so on.
Could you say maybe some concrete examples of this, these new ways of cooperation?
Yes, I think, for example, this sort of demonstrative politics is I would say it's over. Demonstrative politics, I mean like having demonstrations trying to convince governments or parliaments to make decisions or change decisions. That is clearly not working, especially not in illiberal countries like Hungary.
But that is how your TISA party began, no?
Yes,
by
yes.
The huge demonstration.
Absolutely.
In Budapest.
But the key and the center part of this is that we started to cooperate, we started to work together, to integrate, not to say that there are some of us who are better or more clever or whatsoever. We are all doing it together. How to take part? That is the new thing, how to take part, how to make it our own, and how to create a system where people can feel that what is going on, it belongs to them. It is not something that's actually, I mean, for the Hungarian experience is such that that's what the past 15-20 years was all about, that politicians are doing politics and people are trying to live or survive. And this is not how it should be. We all have to practice politics, and this is not a sort of magical game or something. It belongs to us. We have a say. We do have the right to take part in the decisions which are about us. It's not that we are being told and we should be told. And that's, we would like to take away this magical effect in a sense and create another kind of magic where we all be able to take part. And I think this is the one of the areas that we are trying on, and we would like to build the system around it, how to make people able to take part, how to create systems where people can feel that their say matters and their ideas can be discussed without others judging them, without others criticizing them, and so on. So something completely the opposite of what is happening at the moment in Hungary.
I will come back to the European Union level. Mm-hmm. Another issue of Hungary is the state of rule of law in Hungary. Mm-hmm. European Commission repeatedly reports that the rule of law is in miserable condition in the country. Last rule of law report from July states that there is no progress in problems related to judicial system, media independence, and functioning of civil society. Is it something that would be changed if the SAP party get into power?
We are very critical about the situation, the rule of law situation in Hungary, but I think it must be understood that according to the legal system in Hungary, everything is within the rule of law. I mean, the parliament at the moment has a two-third majority, the government has a two-third majority in the parliament, and they approve and create legislation which fits their purpose. So whatever happens now in Hungary is within that framework. And if there is something which they would like to do and they don't have the appropriate legal solution for that, then they create it if it's necessary even overnight. Mm. So to a certain degree, I mean, this is a rule of law, but against, as you just explained, against in so many respects to the general understanding or the universal understanding of rule of law.
Or EU legislation.
EU's legislation, or even, I could say, even, you know, UN declarations and so on. Yes, absolutely. We need to somehow restate and reinstate the freedom of press, the freedom of education, academic freedom. We need to obviously separate the legislation, the governance, and the jurisdiction. So these basic things, which are part of the modern democratic life, should be restored. And we hope to have the necessary majority so that we will be able to recreate what needs to be recreated. Mm. But at the same time, you know, we do have legislation, we do have a legal system, and we also think that if that legal system does not need to be changed in every aspect and fundamentally, because that would take away a lot of energy and focus. But we need people who apply the law in a way which is in relation to the general democratic values. But we also think that you know, every country, every nation, every people has its own right to decide on which direction they want to go. And we hope that the people of Hungary are able now to decide where they would like to go. And we hope that we were able to show them a new way, a new direction to choose.
So what would be the first concrete steps of potential government led by Tisza party in this regard?
In this regard, first of all, we are going to ask for an acquisition to the European Public Prosecutor's Office. That is the first main step which we would like to do. The second is that we will do everything what is necessary in order to be able to get back the EU funds. That requires a lot of legislative steps as well, quite a few. We also would like to see how we can, you know, stop certain legislations, for example, against teachers and so on, which we hope that will help to get the academic freedom back, the freedom of culture back. So there are some very concrete legislative steps we are aiming for. We are preparing a whole pack of legislative steps which we would like to propose for the new parliament, hoping that we will have the majority necessary to get those through and start a new life for the country.
Currently, the European Commission keeps 18 billion euro frozen for Hungary. Is this the right way to get Hungary to reform and comply with the rule of law principles?
Well, I think history showed us that this is not the best way to really entire country to make corrections. I mean, that's what this government was doing and is doing. They are taking advantage of the this system. They are using the system, the democratic system, dishonestly. And as you just said, there is a lot of money frozen, which means that this idea of the EU was not successful. The government of Hungary was not ready to negotiate and is not ready to negotiate. And the problem is that the people of Hungary are suffering because of that, and the companies and SMEs are suffering because of that.
I would like to ask you about your personal plans. Mm-hmm. Are you planning to leave Brussels and Strasbourg after the election and move to domestic Hungarian politics?
Well, I mean, it's our plans are, we are a party which is quite, swiftly developing. So I don't really have concrete plans at the moment. I will be serving wherever I'm needed the most. At the time, now, this is the place where I need to work. But if it is necessary, I would be happy to go home, wherever I could do the best and the most to bring about change.
The political campaign in Hungary will be probably very confrontational and messy. You wrote on X already in June, I quote, Fidesz is attempting to infiltrate this party with operatives to disrupt our community and discredit us. Do you have any proofs of this?
Absolutely. I mean, this is not just going to be, it is already a messy and dirty campaign. You must understand that how the Fidesz is operating is that they are in a constant campaign mood. So there is not a periodical campaigning. It is a constant campaigning mood. They are campaigning now like they would be the opposition. They are saying that they need time to repair the country and so on, which is totally baseless and totally crazy approach. Yes, we are being infiltrated. Some of the data of ours was stolen by people who infiltrated us and managed to get closer to digital data, which we have. We always have, and I knew several of them, some people who started to work as volunteers and then they started to become, employees of ours. And it turned out after a while that actually are not working for us, but they are working for the government or the party themselves. The party and the government is using AI to discredit us. They are using all kinds of, even today, this morning, they published a document which absolutely has nothing to do with us, blaming that it is our own economic plan for the country, of obviously disastrous. So they are creating all these total lies because they are not afraid. There is nothing who would punish them, no one who would punish them. And that's what we have to face with. But we are strong and we won't give up.
And are you worried about Russian interference in the election?
Absolutely. The Russian interference is a daily experience of ours. As you already said, this government has a particularly good relationship with the Russian government, which we don't really know the reasons for. And yes, we are not just afraid, we already know that there is a Russian interference in the country and in the election process.
The guest of Czech Radio was Zoltán Tar, member of the European Parliament and vice president of Hungarian opposition Tisza Party. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. That's very kind. Thank you for having me.